Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hello, friends. Welcome back to another episode of Be Here for a While. Today's episode of Be Here for a While is brought to you by Scentbird, Zebit, and Quip. All awesome companies and products that I use. Hey, I'll never do that again. Okay, so this is so weird. It sounds like, okay, through my headphones right now when I'm doing this intro, that like I'm on freaking surround sound, right? Like sound is clear, sound is perfect on my equipment. For whatever reason, when I was in Europe over the last 3 weeks, when I would try to podcast, nothing would work. Like, it was recording our voices, but we couldn't hear ourselves through the microphones at all. I don't know what that means, because there's no, you know, it's not like a cell phone that doesn't work when you're overseas. It's podcast equipment. It just was malfunctioning, and now it's back. And I am loud AF. Or it's just because I'm screaming. Could go either way. Who knows? Awesome. I'll get to the podcast soon. I'm over that whole being self-conscious about doing intros thing, because the lovely girl apologized on social media and said she was high when she commented that she didn't like my intros. And I let it get in my head and then didn't do an intro. To be perfectly honest, I didn't do intros for the last couple weeks just because I didn't want to, because I was in Europe. But I blamed it on this poor girl for making me feel self-conscious. And in all honesty, wasn't her fault. I mean, it got in my head a little bit. Who knows? But it was awesome. Like, she heard me say that, then wrote to me on Instagram, was super sweet, and was like, I was high when I wrote that. I'm like, you're awesome. Maybe don't Instagram high. I don't know. I don't smoke, so I don't know how that works. I'm not a good smoker. I get real paranoid that I can't get, like, I don't, so here's the reason why I don't do drugs. Also, I just don't like them and I'm not cool enough. And frankly, no one ever offers me them. Like, I wouldn't know how to buy drugs on the street. And I don't also look like the person that people offer them to. And I asked a friend once who probably like does like party drugs. I was like, why does no one ever offer them to me? Not that I'm going to do them. Why? He's like, well, you look like someone that might tell on someone else. I'm like, well, that's not very nice to say. I get down. Truth is, I don't get down, but I'm not going to tell on anyone. Yeah, but I've always felt really left out that no one offers. And, you know, I don't have that, you know, I don't have it in my back pocket. I don't have that, like, street sense that I would know how to go up to someone and be like, yo, do you have some pills of Quaaludes? They're like, no one makes Quaaludes anymore, Rachel. I'm like, cool. I saw it in Almost Famous. Just thought I'd throw that word out. I'm like, do you have ludes? Just try to get slang with it. None of it's working. Any hoodles, the reason why I don't do drugs is for those reasons. And I hate the feeling of like you can put something in your body and then there's no way to totally know if you've dosed it properly. And there's also no way to get it out of your body. It freaks me out. And anyways, dare to keep kids off drugs. That was my, and by the way, that was like when we were kids, they basically taught you to do drugs with the whole DARE program. Like they brought you, they showed you what the, like it was the opposite of what they showed you drugs. They were like, look, this is what a bag of cocaine looks like. Or this is what this looks like. You're like, now I know how to do this. Like, what are you doing here, sir? Anyways, I digress. Okay, quickly before we get to the podcast, I want to talk about this without giving the ending away. I just, like, only one of my friends has seen this so far, and I need all of my listeners to watch this movie. And please email me or DM me, or email me at info@rachelbryancomedy.com or DM me at Rachel, RachelNobrien. So we can talk about it because I feel alone on an island and I feel scared and alone that I have seen the Zac Efron, Lily Collins, Ted Bundy movie. And thank God I just remembered her name. I could not remember for the life of me. I was like, I don't know, Phil Collins' daughter. What's her butt? Lily Collins. I got it. First of all, I think that movie was very well done. It's called Extremely Wicked and Shockingly Evil. They are missing the whole part where he is... Oh, sorry, my Bluetooth just shut off. They are missing the whole part where Ted Bundy is extremely wicked and shockingly evil. I'm not giving anything away by saying this. But I guess since he was so charismatic, they were just showing the real part of it. So basically, this movie is a story of Ted Bundy, but shown through the eyes of Liz, his girlfriend that he was dating at the time of committing these murders and when he got arrested and all this stuff. And I think it's like fairly based in the truth. I read some articles about it. I think they took some liberties. But the ending is so bone-chilling. Like, just like the last... like the second to the last scene basically is so, I can't get it out of my head and I just want to talk about it with people. But yeah, so they don't show him in like, they show him in like somewhat of an evil light, but they really do heighten the fact that they're like, he was so charismatic and he was such a chameleon and he represented himself in court. But all of that really did happen. And the judge, when he sentenced him, really did say to him, like, you're a bright young man. And I would have loved to watch you practice in front of me in court. You're talented, whatever. Definitely are a waste of humanity now. But, like, the judge, after sentencing him, was still complimenting him. After he died, and this isn't in the movie, but I read this, women were calling, like, local hotlines for, like, therapists and stuff because they were grieving over the fact that he was sentenced to death and he died or whatever because they were struggling so bad with it because they'd somehow fallen for him. Like, how... God, I don't want to kill anyone, obviously, but I wish I could possess, like, some sort of, like, I wish I could just take the charm that a sociopath apparently has and just have, like, a little bit of that so, like, the whole world would just think I was awesome all the time, but, like, without the bad parts of it, because it's unbelievable how, like, certain sociopathic people can be like that. It's fascinating. Anyways, please watch the movie so I have someone to talk to about it, because I'm alone on an island here. All right, let's get to the podcast. Oh, comedy dates. And first of all, before I get to that, I want to thank everyone that came out to our shows in New York and Scotland and London and Berlin and Prague and Paris. It was hands down one of the greatest experiences of my life. I could cry now. I feel like I have a ton of new friends. I'm so grateful to all you people that came out. I want to start listing everyone, but, you know, because I remember all y'all personally, podcast listeners and stuff, but I won't do that to the rest of the people that didn't come. But thank you so, so, so very much. Everyone's so cool and sweet and just made us feel so loved and special. So thank you so much. Greatest experience. Okay. Tour dates. I will be in Wichita, Kansas, which is hilarious. I made a post on Instagram where I said it was like my last day in Paris. Here's a photo of me in Paris, but can't wait to, you know, my next show is in the Paris of America, Wichita, Kansas. And I was just saying that as a joke. And then someone messaged me and they were like, well, actually, it's not Wichita. It's Kansas City. And it is considered the Paris of something. And I was like, oh, I was joking. I didn't know that there was actually something that needed to be corrected. Anywho. All right. My guests today. You know them. You love them. Kristen Doty from Vanderpump Rules and Zach Wickham, Vander Adjacent. He doesn't care that I say that because he came up with the term. They're awesome. I love this. I loved this podcast. Like, first of all, it was just me and Kristen that were supposed to podcast, but Zach came over and he had to bring Kristen her Christmas or her birthday present like 3 months late. And he knew she was coming to my house, so he came over and that's not his fault that it was 3 months late. She didn't have time to, I don't know. I'm not here to speculate. Anyway, so he comes over. And so we all were just hanging out for like an hour beforehand and kind of catching up about stuff that like maybe we wouldn't want to necessarily talk about on the podcast. However, we talk about some crazy shit on this podcast, some really honest, like Kristen recaps the first part of the reunion super honestly. She tells some pretty raw Lisa Vanderpump stories too. Zach talks about some pretty raw shit. So yeah, but anyway, so he's over here. It was just supposed to be me and Kristen podcasting, but then I was like, well, I don't have a 3-mic setup, but let's just do this. You guys just can pass the mic back and forth, and it actually worked out. And it's one of my favorite podcasts. So hope you guys enjoy it. Without further ado, Kristen Doty and Zach Wickham. I have two of probably your favorite guests here today. I don't have the capability to record with two people unless my sound guy Greg is here. But he's not here, and so we're just going to do it anyways. So Kristen Doty is here.
Hello, people.
And Zach Wickham, and they're just going to pass the mic back and forth.
Hey, guys.
Hey, thankfully... Well, Kristen,
we both have really long arms.
I was going to say loud voices, but Kristen, yeah, I might want to get closer. Kristen, you don't have that loud of a voice. Zach has one of the loudest voices ever.
It just depends if I like talk like Tom Schwartz or if I project.
Project.
So today I'm going to try to project.
Your hair's in a side.
Zach.
Yeah, and your hair's in a side ponytail. You got to project, you know?
Because I can have a side ponytail now. Shout out, Hair Boss Extensions.
I love your hair like this.
Thanks, boo.
Okay, so the premise of this podcast, we're going to talk about lots of stuff, is we're going to, since I just got back from Europe yesterday, well, really late Saturday night, but I haven't seen anyone, we're going to catch up like we normally would live on this podcast.
And that's totally unfiltered.
Unfiltered.
We love our catch-ups.
Our catch-up. I was like catch-up? Okay, cool. You're going to need to hand it back to him when he wants to talk. Just hit her in the leg. There'll be a signal.
Yep. Just kick me, Zach.
With love. So.
Isn't it always with love?
What's been going on in your life, Kristen? And then Zach, you pass it to Zach. But what's been going on besides you bought a house?
Yeah, that's what's been going on. Houses are fucking hard, y'all.
Really?
Houses are hard. It sounds like all jammy and lovey and rad, and you're like, yeah, I can afford a down payment. This is going to be like Fixer Upper with Chip and Joanna Gaines.
They make it look
no
so
big
easy.
Deal. They sure do. God. I live on HGTV right now, and guess what? It's not easy.
Yeah.
They're like, oh my God, it's only cost like $3,000 for this. And then suddenly you blink and like the whole kitchen's redone. It takes a really long time and a lot of people and a lot of stress.
Well, they're also doing it themselves. Like if you were a contractor or like a handyman, perhaps it would be $3,000.
That's fair. And it was proven on my Instagram story, if anyone saw it, that I was not good at demoing a wall like I thought.
Yeah, I did see that. I was in Europe. And I was also confused. Did you take down the wall that you were like, one day I'll do this?
Mm-hmm.
You decided that one day was right
was
away.
That day. Because I'm redoing my floors. Like, y'all, when you buy a house and you're not like, you know, super rich or really experienced or like your own parents, perhaps, when you're like my age and you don't know what the hell you're doing, you just think of the most important things. And for me, in this specific house that I bought, the most important thing to me were redoing the floors.
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized if I ever want to knock down a wall, that must happen first, because you cannot possibly put in brand new hardwood floors and then knock down a wall.
Oh, that makes sense. Uh-huh. Yeah. That makes perfect sense.
Yeah. So you just probably doubled
your price of remodel.
Sure did. And then I went, you know what? That ugly bathroom is just going to stay ugly for a hot minute because you have to pick and choose.
I like that bathroom.
You are one and only.
It kind of looks like my bathroom.
That's
Maybe
your
that's
bathroom.
Why I like it.
That is your bathroom. There
I know,
you go.
But it also sort of looks like the one I currently have. So I think that's why I'm like, no, it's pretty.
No,
Kristen.
Yours is much nicer.
I don't think so. But mm-hmm. Whatever. Whatever.
But
I don't
houses
own
are
mine.
Hard, but it is very rewarding. And I sound like such a negative Nancy. And my mom constantly tells me to send her smiley faces or heart emojis when she asks me about said house instead of like, you know, the brain coming off of your head emoji.
Yeah.
Or like the weird face where you're like, ooh.
My mom actually told me something similar. She said, right. She's like, can you just call me and tell me when good things are happening in your life, not just the bad things? And then I realized why maybe she thought I was depressed at one point.
Yeah.
Because I usually, but that's what you just think you do that with your mom.
Is this why boyfriends think I'm negative?
Yeah. Well, the other thing too is I usually don't tell my parents or friends like things if they haven't come to fruition yet, because I think I'm going to jinx it. So I don't want to be like, oh, I have this big audition, or oh, this thing might happen, or this exciting, or this guy I just started dating I really like or something. Because I'm like, if it doesn't work out, then it's...
Then they're going to ask about it later and you're going to be like, I failed.
Yeah, really, exactly. That's what you
I'm
feel
a fucking
like.
Failure.
That's what you feel like. Totally.
Totally. So houses are really hard, but it's coming along and I'm in the middle of renos. Definitely thought I was going to move in 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely not happening, but I have put my notice in on my apartment.
So exciting.
So now I have a timeline. I just want my dogs to like feel comfortable there. I don't care how I feel.
Oh my God. They're going to love it. They have a yard.
Finally. I know. I'm like, mom's rich. You have a yard, not just a small hallway.
How many nights a week can I stay the night there?
Every single night.
Really?
Yeah.
Which room is mine?
The guest room.
There's two.
Well, that's the other one's my closet.
Oh, okay,
it's going to become so the only closet guest room. Yeah, like a vanity room. Okay. Because I've never like had one of those. And I'm like, well.
It's your glam room.
Yeah, I get a glam room.
That's so cute. All right, Zach, what's been going on with you?
I mean, literally nothing.
That's not true. So
that's a crock of shit.
And this is a podcast. You're going to need to come up with something.
No, I mean, I think I've just been kind of doing the same thing. Just, you know, going through the motions, not buying a house. We're the only two people of all of our friends that have not bought a house.
So. Stassi lives in a really expensive apartment, so that's a lie. And we have lots of other friends without houses.
I also considered buying one last summer, and I probably will buy one at some point fairly soon.
Do you want to go in together?
That's not a good idea. That's just,
Rachel, do you remember when you and I were going to buy a house in Palm Springs together?
That would have been a great investment.
It really would have been.
Absolutely.
Rachel and I thought about buying one like years ago. Mm-hmm. Before you and even moved into this apartment.
Probably, yeah. Just to like Airbnb it and stuff.
Yeah, when Rachel still did Airbnb, that's when it was. And mm-hmm. we were like, either like we'll buy it 50-50 or we'll buy it like a different percentage and then Rachel will get paid to do the Airbnb thing.
We were like, look how much money we're going to make during Coachella.
We looked like $200,000-$300,000 houses.
Yeah, but didn't you all do that?
You know what? This is a consideration.
Yeah, we're just maybe still. All right, Zach, there is stuff going on. I feel like you've been doing a lot more with like Brittany and Jax's wedding and all that planning stuff and helping them. I feel like you are like holding their shit together. Not them as a couple. They're doing very well.
No, but you mean, I feel like, yeah, sometimes I guess I forget about that. Mm-hmm. It's all the friend or bridesman duties that, you know, just pop up all the time. Yeah, no, I mean, I guess that is kind of my life right now. It's like, it's a lot of work being people's friends. No, I'm just kidding.
Is this your first time being a bridesman?
Fantastic point, Zach. Fantastic. It is hard work being people's friends and being good friends.
Yeah.
Because if you want to be somebody's good friend, yeah, sometimes, you know, when things are coming up, you gotta man up and do it.
Is this your first time being a bridesman?
Third time being a bridesman.
Oh my God.
I mean, I do have a lot of best friends, but
you do.
And not that the other two were very important, like very, very close friends as well.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like this one is, they're probably not going to involve.
I was going to say, they're probably not listening to the podcast. You can be honest.
Thank God. No, I'm just the first one. I was so young. I was like 23.
Uh-huh.
So like I had no involvement. Obviously I just showed up and walked the line.
They were like, barely. Let's just hope that he shows
Thank
up.
Thank God.
Sober.
Yeah. Like, and I didn't. So, you know, jokes on them.
Yeah.
But then the second one, I had already been in California. So they just like, she's one, you know, we call each other our embryonic buddies because we had been friends since like literally birth.
Mm-hmm.
But like, unfortunately, I didn't live in Louisville at the time and the wedding was in Louisville. So she'd just be like, she'd text me and she'd be like, hey, so this is what we're doing. I'm just telling you so you're included. I hope you have a good day. And I was like, Thanks for including me. Like,
you're
I feel
like that's
she
all
would
I really
send me
want
some
to
pictures.
Do.
I mean,
no, that's like a really good friend. She just wanted you to feel included, knowing that she asked you to be a part of it. You obviously geographically could not be involved, but she wanted you to know that you were just as loved. Good for her.
Exactly. And, you know, and like I felt just as involved in the wedding itself. And mm-hmm. like, yeah, I came in a few days early so we could like, you know, do stuff and like obviously
rehearsal dinner stuff.
Yeah. And it sucks because a lot of my friends' weddings and stuff I can't go home for all the time. But these were the two that like were my closest friends that I've been in their weddings. And then Brittany,
you're the most involved in this one.
But I'm most involved in this one.
You are the man of honor.
Oh, even if you haven't been asked.
Okay, so I didn't want to say it, but like Brittany, I'm sure is gonna ask. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, I was like,
Brittany,
is
better
this a big
say,
reveal?
No, I'm just kidding. No, I mean, I feel like, yeah, I'm. You know, Kara can't be there 24/7, but Kara's done so much.
Yeah,
she has earned her maid of honor duties for sure. And Katie is gonna be doing plenty coming up.
Yeah.
So yeah, I feel like we've all. I mean, I feel like it's all hands on deck, especially with a wedding of this magnitude.
Yeah. Like, seriously.
Kristen, as a bridesmaid, feels it. We all feel it because there's just so much to do, so much to make sure that goes right. That like we all have to be ready to jump in.
I feel like when we were bridesmaids in Katie's wedding, we didn't really have to do anything because Katie just sort of like handled it on the down low. Like we wanted to help, but like she sort of just handled things and we're chill.
I feel like Zach is going to be responsible for a lot more than he even realizes because yeah. he's good at it, number one.
Yeah, you are good at
it. And he's Brittany's like best friend who lives here.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say like I'm not Brittany's best friend too because I like totally am and like we all are. But I truly feel like Zach's going to like end up taking on a lot more responsibility. He's going to
take
on
a lot of weight.
Well, I
feel like you already have. Like you've been helping with like websites and like all that stuff.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, it's just, it's, that's, it definitely is what I'm good at.
I'm excited for this very extravagant wedding.
Oh my God. Literally, I don't know if everybody's called it this, but I keep calling it the Royal Wedding of America. Because
well, it is in a castle.
It's in one of the only castles in America, which is crazy that it's in Versailles, Kentucky. But yeah, it is.
And you know what I'm definitely going to be wearing to this very lavish and extravagant and fancy wedding? Is something that makes me feel even fancier. My scent bird. Okay, you know when people come up to you and they're like, you smell amazing. What perfume are you wearing? And you feel so good about yourself. Well, with Scentbird, you can try even more luxury fragrances with Scentbird's luxury fragrance subscription service for perfumes and colognes. It's a way for you to discover new perfumes and colognes without buying an entire bottle. They have more than 450 designer brands for you to choose from, like Prada, Tom Ford, Versace, Dolce & Gabbana, Cartier, Glossier, Gucci, Calvin Klein, and more. I personally have done Acqua di Parma, which I'm super excited about, Gucci. I have also tried Versace. I love them all. You try the brands you want. It's the real deal. So you choose a perfume you want to try, and they send you a 30-day supply. So that's 120 sprays, enough to apply more than 4 times daily for a month. And if you're not sure what type of scent you're looking for, sort and find your new fragrance by brand, style, occasion, season, and more. And you can check user ratings and reviews on any fragrance. Or take Scentbird's True Scent Quiz to discover more personalized recommendations for your taste. And I have an exclusive offer for my listeners. You can get 50% off your first month today. That's only $7.50 for your first fragrance. That's crazy. Just go to scentbird.com/behere and use my code BEHERE for 50% off your first month. Again, that's Scentbird. That's scentbird.com/behere for you to try your first perfume or cologne for just $7.50. Sign on and smell amazing. My plane ticket was, I think, the same amount that it cost me to go to Europe to go there. But that happens when you go to like
not booked my plane ticket yet. And I was just talking about this. So can you share those?
Yeah.
That information with me?
Yeah, for sure.
Also, I have a quick question. Have either of y'all ever been to a castle? Like you were just in Europe. So I don't know if you go to castles, but I've never been to one.
Versailles.
I've been to that castle where they beheaded people in England.
Wait, do you know the city that her castle is in?
It's called
Versailles.
No, it's Versailles is how they pronounce it. They might pronounce it Versailles.
No, it's spelled the same.
But they pronounce it Versailles.
But we pronounce it Versailles, Kentucky.
But you're probably pronouncing it wrong. You aware of that?
Well,
I mean, because I think I looked into it.
I don't know. I'm American. I'm pretty sure I know how to speak American.
I don't know if they wanted it to be called Versailles.
Well,
I'm pretty sure.
I don't know. I think somebody said, you know what? You know, it's just like somebody named Judy and Judai. You know, it's like.
Or like, I never say like guacamole. Like, I would sound like a moron.
I'm sorry. Barcelona.
Ibiza. Yeah.
I'm like, no.
I would sound like an idiot if I said that.
Your second grade teacher should have helped your lisp better. Stop it.
No,
you're saying it wrong.
No, it's the proper way to say it. But if I sound
Only in Ibiza.
But if I sound like the way I sound all the time and all of a sudden I threw out a fancy word, it'd be like, Rach, you're trying too hard. Croissant?
That's how I feel about quesadilla. Like, I want a quesadilla. I don't want a quesadilla.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm not going to...
La mariposa. You know?
Ooh, that one was jazzy.
That was actually super jazzy.
Yeah.
But here's the main thing. If I was actually Ibithian, which I don't know if that's what they're called. I was from Ibiza and said it, okay, got it. But like, if I'm from Spain, I would say Barcelona. Or I'm sure it's actually called something else because Spain is called España. So I get it. Like, it's different. So I just hate people that are like, it's not called Versailles. I'm like, you know what,
fucker? Have people corrected you?
You're not from there. You're not from there. If you're from there, then you can call it whatever you want.
Has anyone corrected you?
not with Versailles, but it grinds my gears. Like,
what are you, 75? So really grinds my gears.
I was using a Peter Griffin from Family Guy quote, okay. But basically, when people say it's Louisville or it's Louisville because it's named after King Louis the either 13th or 14th, I can't remember. Mm-hmm. I'm like, well, fucker, do you live there?
Isn't
you don't.
It Louisville?
It's Louisville.
Louisville.
Yeah.
But they say it's Louisville.
Louisville, or there's like 9 different pronunciations, which we don't accept them, even though we like pretend that it's funny and we put them on shirts.
He's making. We you really heard it here first.
We don't. We don't. We are not accept accepting those. It. Sorry. Okay. It's Louisville. And God, this is like the 9th time I've done this on a podcast or on a show. I swear to God, I am so defensive of how my city's name is pronounced. It's bad.
That's so funny. I feel like I saw someone on some social media when I was in Europe that noticed you as the guy from the dating show. It was like a comment on something. Are you getting that a lot?
I do get that a lot. And I was on the preview for the one in Great Britain and in New Zealand. And some of the other
tell my
countries.
Listeners what dating show you were on.
I was on Dating No Filter, one episode, a half episode on E.
Still.
I mean, still, but like I made the preview for like the international. So like all people that like knew me international or like have seen me internationally, like they would like message my friend that's like from England and they'd be like, isn't that your friend or like whatever.
It's so funny.
Yeah.
Two of my comedian friends were commentators on it too. Zach really? Noe Towers, another guy named Zach.
Oh, yeah. I love Zach.
And Rocky Dale Davis.
Wait, Zach Wickham. Have you gotten dates from because of that show?
You know what? I'm actually pissed I didn't get more dates.
Wait, did people reach out to you at all, though?
Not, I mean, yeah, girls do. And I mean, that's great. But like, thanks for being my fan. And I'm glad you liked my date. But no, I have not gotten any real dates. And I would like to do like a little side note to Zach Noe Towers, because I just want to say there was never dick pics exchanged on
you
that.
You have to give the backstory on
okay,
that.
Okay, so basically, Dating No Filter happens. Obviously, I don't know who's going to be on the couch. I didn't know it was going to be this guy that I talked to a couple times on Grindr, but that is one of Rachel's friends, who's a comedian friend. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I don't know what the commentary is going to be, whatever. So then I watch the show, and the first 5 seconds that like I come on screen, the comedian Zach goes, "I know him." And the girl goes, "Wait, how do you know him?" And she goes, "From being gay, like life, obviously." Uh-huh. Which I do know a lot of people, so okay, whatever. And then as it goes on, he goes, dick pics may have been exchanged. And I was like, what? Where are those dick pics?
Okay, so he basically said allegedly.
Yeah, and I also...
He said may have.
And also...
You're here to set the record straight and say the dick pics may not have happened, aka did
they
not.
They have not happened.
But he did not say that
he
they
said
happened.
May have.
He was being
He was trying to make some good TV.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
He made great TV. But I made sure to find him on Grindr and then be like, where are the dick pics in this conversation? Oh, they're not there. And he said, ha, ha, ha. And I'm like, yeah, that's right.
All right.
The only dick pics it's came settled. To me and Rachel. Oh, let's God. Be honest.
I feel like Zach's not a dick pic sender. I can't picture
not
it.
Not anymore. I stopped once I moved.
Oh, okay.
Oh, my God. Actually, when I was in my early 20s, I literally said if I run for office, which I do plan on one day, I literally would have to say it. My slogan would be, my name is Zach Wickham, and yes, you will find my dick on the internet at some point.
Hey, at least you're being honest
Wait,
about
can
it.
Can I Google your dick on the internet? So you've sent dick pics. No, I want to know this. Have you've sent dick pics in your 20s. Have you ever like sent like sex videos or like anything like that to people?
See, I'm not a sex video person. Like, I don't, like, every once in a while
with a
boyfriend.
Do people exchange sex videos unless they have a relationship?
Okay, on Grindr, yes, they do.
Really?
Yeah, it's a little, but you know what? Here's my thing is, like, I don't want to see the person that I'm going to try to get with being plowed by somebody that I don't want to get with. You know what I mean?
Oh, my God. Like, they send something like that?
Oh, that's not what I meant. I meant, like, of you and the person that you had sex with. Like, have you ever, like, taped things with someone or, like, exchanged? I didn't mean, like, you with, like...
Wait.
Or so, your dude with like Joe Schmo and he sends it to you. Fuck that.
That's so weird.
But that's normal. So that's where my head went. I was like, wait, what?
Oh,
I mean, not
gosh.
Normal. It's not normal.
The
okay.
gays
I
are so fascinating.
Like, you know, it's like 3 in 10. Yeah. Like,
that's a pretty high. That's 30%. That's a
yeah,
lot.
Yeah, but I feel like gays usually follow like
a different
90,
sliding
10.
Scale.
Yeah. It's like
yeah.
we're pretty like to the, like I would say about 90% of the people would send dick pics. And I have, obviously, I'm not even denying it. I'm saying I have. You cannot Google them, thank God. Mm-hmm. But that's the reason I stopped. But yes, okay. But that's the reason I stopped. I also tried on multiple different sites and Tumblr and whatever,
Kristen's
just to make sure
so
I didn't
gonna
like
search for this. If anyone's gonna find it, it's Kristen.
Oh my god, Kristen's gonna find them, and then.
Well, at least you'll know.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I'm not, like, ashamed of it. It's not that thing. But I just know there's bad people in the world, and that's why I stopped doing it.
Good.
Because I used to be much more trusting, and then I realized, why am I doing that with my penis?
Yeah, and also, like, act like a lady. Like, you don't want to show your shit off.
You should hold your penis to a higher regard.
Yeah.
I finally have started to.
Good.
Because now you're an adult.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Look, Zach, you may not have bought a house just yet, but you know better than to send dick pics.
See? Everyone's growing up.
Exactly. Or if I do send a dick pic and then it's immediately not well received, then I block them before they can save it.
Oh, you can tell if they can save it?
No, you can't tell, but I just assume that, like, I'm faster than they are.
Wow. You're like, this is like fucking war. This is crazy. You gotta read The Art of War if you're gonna be
gay. Being gay is very hard. No, Jesus. There's an art of being gay, and
yeah,
I could write
which is
it.
Also sounds like The Art of War. You're like, you knew when you gotta, like, you gotta take the high road, so you come down on them. Yeah,
yeah, you gotta. I mean, that's the only way to win.
Oh my god!
But okay. I feel like there's no winning.
All right,
well, I haven't won yet, but I'm still in battle, so I guess that's good.
You don't date
Zach,
as much.
You just
as you
literally
should.
Said you had nothing to catch us up on.
Yeah, seriously, like this.
And this
just,
is awesome.
You just revealed stuff that we did not know about you. We've been your friends for years, and.
Now my listeners are
learning a lot about you as we are.
God, I know that I'm gonna tell my dad and mom. I'll be like, Mom, Dad, I was on Rachel's podcast. And
just maybe
I
don't
always
tell
have
them.
To preface them. I'm like, Mom, Dad, okay, listen.
Don't tell them.
I said, yeah, today, this might not be the podcast to
yeah,
tell them
let's
about.
Let's not do that. Let's.
Because I would also be catching them up on my life, and this is
not what they want to hear.
That's not what they want to
hear.
Yeah,
they're not ready
yeah,
for that.
No.
All right. Well, let's switch gears a little bit because today is the part one of the reunion. How many parts did you have? Three?
Trace. Three, correct.
It's airing like right now. So you're probably getting a lot of tweets and messages.
I just logged into my Twitter for the first time in like a week and a half.
Mm-hmm.
I deleted Twitter and Instagram for 2 whole days.
Oh, good
and
for
Twitter
you.
Actually, well, for a week, Twitter and Instagram for 2 days. Because
did you feel good?
I really did because I noticed that it was like the very first thing that I went to. Like I would check I would check Instagram mostly for like James May,
mm-hmm.
a little bit for myself, but then I would like, you know, like. Like move on to like my texts or my emails and then all of a sudden just go back to Instagram for absolutely no fucking reason
yeah,
whatsoever.
Yeah.
It was like this addictive like thing.
You know they have that thing now where you can block how much time you spend on social media.
I just want to be stronger than that, but I yeah. love that because that I might need that information.
I don't really
at
enjoy scrolling through it, but I feel like I freaking have to use it to like promote stuff. But I get so sick of that too, where I'm like, hey, listen to my podcast, come to my comedy show.
But you should do it for those things.
And I know, but it gets annoying. I feel annoying.
I wouldn't if I were you because that's what the one thing
you
I
would,
do.
Trust
and,
me.
No, but I do it for James May and I do and I post your stuff. I post.
Yes, you're so good
like,
about that.
Different friends things like my friend Rihanna has a really awesome hair care line called In Common. Jeff Dye does comedy. Mm-hmm. Different. Whoever of my friends have something to promote. Lala with her stuff. Stassi with her book. I'm just like. But this is how social media really is like
I
how
know,
we get the word
true.
Out. So for those things, I don't feel weird for
and
me
and my podcast, because most of the people that showed up on my tour in Europe were podcast listeners.
Yep. And I'll tell you, most of the people that buy James May is because they saw it on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Instagram is a wonderful social marketing tool. It's just when it comes to things like tonight's reunion.
Yeah. You're like, I don't need to be
I
on
want
it.
To engage because that's what the fans want. But at the same time, it's not always a positive engagement.
Yeah.
And I feel like I have to like remove myself for a
which
hot
I
minute.
Think is very healthy. No one wants to feel like they have to do without things that they need or want. And that's where Zebit comes in. Zebit believes that everyone deserves access to lifelong interest-free credit. With Zebit, you have the power to buy what you need and pay over time interest-free. And the Zebit marketplace has everything you need from everyday items and electronics to furniture and appliances, all from your favorite brands, all at competitive prices. They're just a better credit option. Zebit provides a better credit option for those who need it. They allow you to buy what you need and pay over time interest free. With Zebit, there's no cost to join, no membership fees, and no late fees. I've always wanted a GoPro. I thought it was kind of frivolous. And then I was like, I'm going to sign up for Zebit and I'm going to get me a GoPro. Zebit does not check your credit score, which is amazing. Zebit has zero impact on your credit score, like I said, and your Zebit account doesn't affect it. They have a huge marketplace. They have more than 50,000 products in their marketplace with brand names like Xbox, Sony, Apple, like I said, GoPro, which I got, and Fitbit, from electronics to barbecues, furniture, and more. Zebit has everything you need for when you need it. And guess what? Everyone believes in them. Zebit has a 5-star rating on Trustpilot. That's 5 stars. And they've earned the trust of more than 1 million customers who shop on Zebit. And I have an offer for my listeners. If you sign up for Zebit today at zebit.com/behere, you'll get $2,500 credit to the shop, the Zebit Marketplace, at zero interest and zero cost to join. That's zebit.com/behere for $2,500 of interest-free credit. Zebit.com/behere. Have fun with it. So what happens on part one of the reunion? Give us a little rundown.
Oh,
because
boy.
The podcast will come out after, so yeah. We're not giving any spoilers.
I mean, I feel like
from your perspective, yeah. How did it go?
It was hell on earth. And I watched a
didn't
clip.
Miss a beat there.
I watched a clip today that Bravo posted when I was getting my hair and makeup done, where I'm like Rex Manning Day, you know, from Empire Records. And I'm like, it's Vanderpump Rules reunion day. This is the best day ever. And I said, I woke up in the best mood today. Mm-hmm. And I don't feel like it's going to be that bad. And it was like 100% the most hellish reunion we have ever had.
Really?
And not
so
because...
So for my listeners, if they don't know, you guys film it all in one day. But they break it up into three episodes.
Yes. And it was Andy Cohen's like most hated day of the year. Like, he hates Vanderpump Rules reunion day because it takes longer than any Housewives
how
reunion.
How many hours does it take?
We got there about, I think, because I had full hair and makeup, Brittany and I got there around like 7:30, 8 a.m. Mm-hmm. And we wrapped around like probably 12 to 14 hours later.
Oh my God.
It's the longest
12
reunion.
Hours of like fighting with people.
Yeah.
Sounds like hell on earth.
Yeah. I will say the reunion ends, part one ends with Andy screaming at all of us to shut the fuck up.
Really? And he's actually like being honest.
Oh
like,
yeah. Because we're all just screaming over each other and like no one can get a word in and everyone, because we all feel so passionately.
Yeah.
This is our moment to break the fourth wall.
Yeah.
To just be in the moment with every single person and just be like, no, fuck you. You're not standing up for me. So I want to give a major shout out to our princess bride-to-be, Brittany Cartwright, mm-hmm. for being the only friend of mine, the only person on that panel that stood up for me.
Mm-hmm.
The entire reunion.
In what regard?
Against James Kennedy.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was the battle I knew I was going to have to fight. It wasn't something I was looking forward to because James Kennedy, I don't even like saying his name,
mm-hmm.
JK, is no longer a part of my life or mm-hmm. our lives at all. But it was obviously something that we did film.
So did you end up revealing like what it is that you really are pissed about? Or
I did. I did reveal that it did not air. And I'm grateful for that because mm-hmm. I just don't think it's something, unless I'm going to be stood up for by everyone on the panel, every mm-hmm. one of my friends that knows the truth.
I'd stand up for you.
Of course
was there.
You know. You were literally there firsthand. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they kind of skated past it, which I was actually grateful for
mm-hmm.
because unless it was going to go the way I wanted it to go, I didn't want it to air at all.
Yeah, I could see that.
And
what's the point? What's the point?
What
at
is
this
the point,
point
if the, yeah. if he's still on the show, you know?
No, so and it's just been so long and
right.
perhaps it's more healing.
Well, mostly
for
if he's
you
just like
just
still
forgive.
On the show, if he's going to be around, then what's the point in discussing something that won't come out
mm-hmm.
but I really am so grateful because what they did air was Brittany standing up for me
mm-hmm. that's really
like
cool.
very hard and standing up for herself and standing up for Jax and telling Tom Sandoval like you're his fucking best man
mm-hmm.
why are you continuously defending this awful terrible person
mm-hmm.
I screamed at Tom Sandoval and said like you're supposed to be my friend
mm-hmm.
so just cut the shit so
yeah.
that was like a huge thing that happened and obviously Jax
wow.
and James almost got in a fist fight
mm-hmm.
aka Jax has never ever hit anyone in his entire life y'all but I will tell
but he
you,
always almost threatens
he
to.
Always almost does but I will tell you this is the one time in my whole friendship with Jax Taylor over almost 13 years
mm-hmm.
that I truly thought he was about to kill someone.
Yeah.
There was no fake. It was not a fake stand up chest bump type
yeah.
of thing. It was like I saw
I believe
fear
it.
In the eyes of dumb James Kennedy, which he should be very scared.
Well, he weighs about 90 pounds.
Yeah. And Jax was really
pretty
mad.
Sure I could beat up James.
100%.
Yeah. My shoulders are twice the size of James. So are my hips. I don't know.
James is, so basically James, I don't want to keep talking about him, but he was just a really bad person who proved everything that he apologized for over a whole season, all the BS apologies that we went for.
Oh, so he basically totally goes
he
back
just
on it.
He went right after every single person, screaming at everyone, like Tom Schwartz even, who he was like, I'm friends with Tom Schwartz, I really like him. Then he was like, fuck you.
Really?
Screaming, called Britney's family hillbillies. Here, hold me to give it to Zach.
Okay, well, we're going to come back to that.
Uh-huh.
But I'm going to let... put a note to that. Uh-huh. We're going to come back to that so that I can then... Because, yeah. But then I'm now going to give it back to Kristen, and then we'll come back at the very end. Yeah, no, I
thought you were feeling all the feelings.
No, you can say... What were you going to say? Say it.
Oh, should I just do it now?
Yeah.
Okay, well, whatever. I'm just saying... So that day when Britney comes home and she texts me on the way back and was like, I'm emotionally drained. I'll text you tomorrow. And then she tells me what happens. Number one, the fact that she stood up and was like, you know, Britney never wants to see the bad in people. Mm-hmm. She, out of everybody, even like Tom Sandoval and people that call James their friend or whatever, nobody was speaking to him that morning. Britney went up to him and said, hi, James, how are you today?
Oh.
Out of everybody.
Uh-huh.
And then every time Jax and him would get in an argument, he would go for Britney. And it's like...
It's so gross.
It's so gross. Why are you... For someone who has never wronged you, never whatever, and then you're deflecting from... the person you should be going after,
mm-hmm.
and then going to someone who has literally been nothing but
kind to
you.
Well, I think that he goes for what he considers maybe a weaker link.
Oh, 1,000%. But that is why I'm so proud of Britney when she finally stood up to him and was like...
But not that I think Britney's a weak link at all. I think Britney, I would not want... I feel like Britney's not someone you'd want to get in a bar fight with. I feel like she would cut you. And I think she has been in a few girl fights.
But that's what I'm saying. That's why people underestimate her. I'm not saying anyone underestimates me because I'm not on the show. But if I was, you don't come after me. You don't come after my friends. You don't come after Britney.
Mm-hmm.
Because Britney, number one, she can stand up for herself. I don't even have
to defend her.
She definitely can. But that's what you see finally, because she doesn't care, mm-hmm. until this point when you came after her family.
Yeah.
Then she cares.
Oh, yeah.
The switch has been flipped and you will never get that back. And
I'm the exact same way where I don't fight, but if you if you go after my friends and I can handle a little bit in terms of because I know certain things that people obviously say about my Vanderpump friends, and I'm like, okay, I'm just not going to engage these morons. But
you have to, but you separate that.
I separate that. Yeah. Yeah. But you come after my friends in a real way or my fan. Oh, I'm the type where I never fight, but when I do, it's mean and scary.
Oh yeah, you don't, and that's the second I heard that had happened, mm-hmm. I just was like, I cannot wait till I see him next. It is going to be over. And then
have you seen him?
I have not seen him since.
Yeah,
but I mean, not that I would. None of us. Around, that's the thing. Nobody on the show sees him unless we are forced to film with him.
Mm-hmm.
Or I mean, they are forced to film with him.
It's always so awkward though when you run into him. I don't know how long ago it was. Maybe 5 months ago, I saw him. I was sitting in. Yeah, I was with you. I was we were sitting
in the front of
Tom, yep. And he was there. And then he's kind of he says hi and stuff, and it's like. I'm like, hey, how are you? And then you don't really know what to do because you're just I don't want to tell him go away or whatever. And it's I've also I did hang around him a lot when Kristen was dating him. We went on trips and stuff. So it's a weird position to be in, but I also don't want to be two-faced and be I don't like this person and then be nice to his face. So I just sort of try not to talk to him.
Yeah, that's the best way to be.
Yeah.
Even I've tried that over the years where I'm just this is just easier. And mm-hmm. then he just does one more thing. And I'm like, no, I'm going to ruin this kid's fucking life.
Yeah.
And that's how I felt all season. And that's what I had to defend at the reunion.
Yeah.
And he said, it's because I'm obsessed with him, in which Tom Sandoval echoed that was why.
But you
and that
but
is
I think,
that was my
starting,
fight with Tom Sandoval.
But I think starting this season, you should just not fucking talk about
no,
him.
No, I'm just
because
so
I think,
beyond over it. He is nothing to me.
Yeah.
He's nothing.
Except for we're spending a lot of time on this podcast talking about it.
I was just going to say I'm really over it. But this is...
Because I was asking you about the reunion.
Exactly.
We're
talking exactly why I had to talk about him at the reunion is because we had to recap a season. And right now we're recapping a reunion.
Totally.
And we're giving this motherfucker clickbait. So you are welcome, DJ James Kennedy, you fucking piece of shit loser. So moving on.
Moving on.
He was a very big part of part one. That is why. Because we addressed everything very quickly. About the tweets, so about Jax's father passing away. There was a lot about Lala's father passing away, Lisa's brother passing away. So that was a really, you know, sad and awful moment. And I appreciate, you know, 90% of the people sitting up there really feeling for everyone, including Lisa. You know, Lisa and I don't get along, but I have no idea what it's like to lose a brother or a father.
Oh my God, yeah. Oh,
so that was really, really heart-wrenching.
There's been a lot of loss on Vanderpump Rules in the last couple
but
of years.
But just think
it's
how
really
long
sad.
We've known each other. And I think when you know each other that long and we're, I mean, Rachel was my first friend in LA. She introduced me to Jax. Like she and I met Jax together. So it's like when you have friends for 13 plus years, 20 years, Jax and Tom, you're going to have so many emotions.
Yeah, totally. Totally.
So that was kind of the whole.
Was there any other like, arguments or any other relationship talk or anything?
Yeah, Sheena and Lala kind of had it out a bit because obviously we're going to poke at Sheena about the whole Rob thing. And then we have the whole Adam thing.
Yeah.
And the penguin situation.
What is the penguin thing again?
She adopted a penguin for Adam.
What?
You didn't know that?
No, I don't watch the show.
No, it was at Brittany's engagement party. Brittany and Jax's, sorry. But Sheena adopted a penguin and named him Spot.
I left the party early because I had a friend in town.
She named him Spot. And she brought him the certificate of adoption to give to him at the... I can't even... at the engagement party. And Adam
was
like...
Was he actually going to have
and
to
Adam was like,
raise the penguin?
You fucked that guy the other day. So like... And yelled at her. And it was like this big thing. So we were kind of all just poking fun at like... Rob.
Poor
Sheena. And then Adam being like, my best friend. And then Sheena and Lala had it out a little bit because Andy asked Lala if she thought it was fair that she doesn't have to share her relationship on camera when we're all bleeding out the same way. And Sheena had a very strong opinion about that, saying it wasn't fair. And Lala's response was, well, if your man like had something important going on that he felt like he needed to protect. And then Stassi jumped in and said, well, you think your fiance is more important than my boyfriend because he's not important? Because that was really rude. And that got real fucking awkward.
Yeah.
So there were some lovely, awkward moments.
God, I could never be a full cast member on this show. I get a stomachache just when you tell me these things.
Yeah.
Like I get an instant like cringe, like nervous sweats.
And the only other thing really happened was like Raquel like flew in with like her ruffles and her beauty queen speech that she repeated twice word for word, which means you know she wrote that shit down ahead of time.
She
was like, well,
I'm
as a beauty queen, literally. And then this turned into a whole fight because she kept trying to say to Jax and Brittany, like, as a beauty queen. And Jax is like, okay, number one, we're all just like dying on our side.
Yeah.
We're just like, I'm like, what is she even talking about? It wasn't in response to anything Andy was asking or in response to the conversation happening. She was just like regurgitating this like monologue that she had created about her being a beauty queen, forgetting that Brittany was actually
also, was
a pageant
gonna,
girl
I was
her
just
entire
gonna
life.
Say.
Yeah. So it was fucking weird is what it was.
Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah.
Anything else?
That's pretty much it, I think, for episode one.
Dang. One of my favorite things when it comes to self-care is using my Quip electric toothbrush. Listen, most of us are brushing wrong, and you don't realize that just 2 minutes twice a day can help pave the way to a healthier mouth and mind. But most of us don't brush for the recommended 2 minutes. But with Quip, they have a built-in two-minute timer that pulses every 30 seconds to remind you when to switch sides and help you clean your whole mouth evenly. Why? Up to 90% of us, like I said, don't brush for the full 2 minutes or don't clean evenly. Quip is just amazing. I love it. They have sensitive sonic vibrations for an effective clean that's gentle on your sensitive gums, which I definitely have sensitive gums. I've been told by every dentist. And sometimes, you know, most of us brush too hard and some electric toothbrushes are too abrasive, but not Quip. They have a multi-use cover. It works as a stand, mounts to mirrors, and slides over your bristles to pack and protect your quip on the go. It's so chic and cool looking, and it declutters your sink or cabinet and makes traveling with an electric toothbrush easier. It's slim, it's easy, it's cool looking, plus there are no wires or a clunky charger, and it runs for 3 months on a single charge. And the brush heads are automatically delivered on a dentist recommended schedule every 3 months for just $5. It's just a friendly reminder when it's time to refresh and stay committed to your oral health. And most of us don't realize how important your oral health is. And Quip is one of the first electric toothbrushes accepted by the American Dental Association. They're backed by over 25,000 dental professionals, and they have thousands of verified 5-star reviews. Guys, I cannot stress enough how amazing Quip is. I love it. I just feel so fresh and clean. My mouth feels so good when I use Quip. That's why I love it. And that's why over a million people have happy, healthy mouths. And I have an offer for my listeners. Listen, Quip starts at just $25. And if you go to getquip.com, that's GETQUIP.com/behere, right now you can get your first refill pack for free, right? That's your first refill pack for free at getquip.com/behere. That's GETQUIP.com/BEHERE. You will not regret it. Have a beautiful, healthy smile with me. So we got Zach.
I will say, so since like obviously I call, you know, like me, you, some other people like Vander adjacent friends. So but you know what I'm saying, like
friends, it has nothing to do friends. With Vanderbilt.
I know but I'm just saying, like, there's the core group that's like, let's say they have an event that like this, like a reunion they have to go to, and then like, okay, we're all gonna meet up after. This is the first time, the first reunion that has like that all of them were like, I'm so exhausted, I'm going home, like I'm not gonna deal with it, because literally it was so bad.
Yeah, because there's been reunions where you guys have all hung out afterwards.
Yeah, we've driven to Vegas afterwards. I went home and I Instagrammed and cried and held my dogs said, screw this.
You messaged me that like you were in a bad place after that, the reunion. And I think a lot of it had to do with some Lisa stuff too. That I'm sure will come out later.
I don't know if it'll air or not, but Lisa basically like almost tried to like uninvite me or disinvite, I hate that damn word, like uninclude me from her Caesar's Palace situation. And like, it was no like the very cares. Tail end of the reunion, and
why
I
does she
it,
think
it
people
just hit
care
me like
so
a ton
much.
Of bricks that she was like something along the lines of, well, since you were so rude to me, if you're going to be rude to me, then you're not allowed to come to her Caesar's thing that I had to pay for my own flight for, that I was told to come to, that I was invited to by Pandora.
Do you even know what you were so rude about?
And I definitely was not rude the entire time. I was very cautious
to
mind my P's and Q's and to not be aggressive.
I feel like she just
does
it as like a line or something to
and
like
it
say.
It came out of left field and I didn't know what to do, and she waited for a response. We were cheersing.
Yeah.
Part 3, spoiler alert of the reunion, cheersing when she said that. I don't know if that'll air, but she said that, and it caught me by such surprise. I had one of two choices. Either I say, I'm sorry, or I say, what the fuck are you talking about? And I just said, okay, Lisa, I'm sorry for being rude to you. And it was over. We walked out and I bolted faster than I've ever bolted in my entire life.
It's so frustrating.
And that's when I called you.
Like her fascination with you is just weird. It's like,
but she's
so
obsessed with me. It's just God. Weird.
I mean, I probably would have said sorry too. Like, sorry if I was rude. But then
I wasn't. I know
but
that
then
I wasn't.
I may have followed it up with, but I don't. You know,
I just
I don't
said
need
it
to,
because
I don't need
it
to
made
come to
my
your
life
party.
A hell of a lot fucking easier.
Yeah. That's probably. I probably would have done the same thing.
Welcome to the Vanderpump Rules reunion, motherfuckers.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's shitty.
Okay, well, moving on. We were talking about the Met Gala earlier, and I was saying that. Okay, so the theme of the Met Gala this year is camp, right?
Which I did not understand.
Now, if someone just sent me an invite that was like, you're invited to the Met Gala and the theme is camp, with no more of an explanation, I literally would have thought sleeping bags, camouflage.
I would have dressed like how you dressed when you grew up in Oregon.
Yeah. I'll wear like a hoodie over like a sequin dress. You know what I mean? Like very Logger Heiress.
A logging heiress, like Logger Heiress. I would have worn, like a flannel gown that three people had to carry behind me.
That's literally where I thought they were going with it. And that's how I would have shown up.
So I'm still not understanding it, because I did see Lady Gaga, Jared Leto, and Harry Styles
outfits.
No,
it means like campy, like over the top campy. But But what
campy to me is like sticky and like, yeah, I still don't get it.
It can mean a lot of things. It can mean like, I read something that said like, there's like paying homage to like Versailles and like those kind of days. And like where like men were wearing wigs and stuff like that. Like there's also some part of the gay culture in it. And
as a gay man, I feel like I have failed you both in explaining it. Like that you didn't know. I feel like such a failure that I did not instill that into you.
But if they wrote campy with a Y, I would know exactly what they meant. The fact that they just wrote camp.
I still should have. I felt like that should have been in our lessons, like day one of like friendship. Like there's a few like gay, like when you have those relationships, like camp, campy, like any, there's like certain things you like lay groundwork for so that your straight friend knows. And like, I feel like I failed.
Because like, let's just say, for example, that's all they say on the invite and they don't explain more and they don't let your PR or anyone know. Like, I would have shown up like that.
But I feel like you would have talked to me beforehand and I would have gone, stop dressing like Troop Beverly Hills and like calm
that's
the
actually
F down.
How I like to dress anyways. And give me a hoodie, that's what I'll wear all day long.
And we're gonna I'll get you like, and then I would have been like, no makeup? We're gonna pull some people in and we're gonna fix
this
entire situation. But
oh my god,
so basically it was like dress like Prince.
Yeah,
kind because of, Harry yeah. Styles, like he looked like he was dressing like Prince. Oh, Jared Leto brought a head, which I'm not totally. Yeah, I don't really understand it.
Well, it's I think it
Lady
could be
Gaga
like,
just dressed like Lady Gaga. Like she's yeah, exactly. beautiful, but she just dressed like herself. So I'm still
so for
totally
her,
not
she
getting
was probably
it.
Probably like bored with the theme.
Camp means the most overtop yeah. version of yourself, or someone else, or anything that you deem necessary or worthy to campify.
Okay, well it sounds
which
like
I just
a blast.
Made up as a definition, but is a good one.
Now it makes sense to me.
Yeah.
See, they should have put Anna Wintour, hire me as your editor. I don't know. Well, I guess you're the editor.
I hope that, I feel like, you know when like themes can kind of go in like a direction where you're like, oh, am I offending someone? Like, it's like you're trying to be like over the top, but then you're like, you don't realize like if you're like, I don't know. They always kind of freak me out where I'm like, I don't know.
Like if you were to dress completely the incorrect way.
Or like you think you're
offend someone or
yeah,
like,
or like you're accidentally doing like cultural appropriation or something and
yeah,
you're just like
was, can I tell you a story?
Yes.
There was this one time when when
I feel like this is gonna be good.
When in India, in the, so Indian culture, not American Indian, but okay. in India, the country, when gay marriage was finally legalized. This was last spring, last summer, and Lisa Vanderpump.
So during filming?
I believe it was right before filming, if I'm not mistaken. So I believe in the spring. And Lisa Vanderpump was hosting this beautiful like party and dinner at Sur. Mm-hmm. And she had asked Stassi, she had reached out to Stassi, and Stassi let me know this, to style all of us and that we were all invited.
Okay.
Obviously, I did not get the direct invite. I got the side invite.
Got it.
But we all, she wanted Stassi to style everyone in like this beautiful like Indian wear. Mm-hmm. She also that so of course we all call it Jen Hoffner, our friend Katie's pucker and pout mm-hmm. partner, who is Indian, mm-hmm. and her whole wedding was decked out in that way. And we're
gorgeous.
Thinking like, Jen, we need to borrow stuff. If you can let us know what is appropriate, what is not, because yeah. we are not of your culture.
So that's what I never know. Like
we asked,
is it inappropriate to wear a sari or like
right.
yeah, I don't know.
So we had asked all that, and Jen was like, oh, I got you, and then. I find out that Lisa Vanderpump actually called Stassi and said, can you tell Kristen that it's American Indian?
What's so
just
you
to
just
purposefully embarrass me.
Mm-hmm. That is so cruel.
Like, I'm not fucking stupid because obviously I'm aware that this law is being passed in India.
That's pretty bad.
But that's the kind of thing you get nervous about. Are you going to wear the wrong thing?
Well, you also don't expect that someone's going to set you up.
Totally.
That is. Why would you do that?
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't. Neither would you.
Yeah, no.
Or Zach.
I'm just. So did
but
you?
But those
not,
are the kind of. No, of course, none of us went.
Oh my god. You knew better. Well, because Stassi knew that she did. She think Stassi wasn't going to tell you.
Probably.
Why would she think that Stassi? Would
because
she,
everyone she is that, very intimidated by Lisa, and
so she thinks that Stassi would set her own friend up.
Yeah. Well, she probably hoped so.
Oh my god.
But it didn't happen, and none of us went because none of us felt comfortable.
Yeah.
Being a part of something that may be filmed even for Housewives is what we were told at the time.
Yeah.
You know, there I will say this. There is a very there's a fine line between a cultural appropriation and celebrating culture and mm-hmm. diversity. And it's especially in the gay community, where is the line for celebrating like cisgendered things versus not, which means that you're born of the sex that you are versus you mm-hmm. are a different sex. There is so many very, very fine line. It's very hard. A lot of people like to say, well, we can't even make a joke anymore. We can't be like, it's so PC, like it's so bad. No, let's not say that, because it has nothing to do with that. Thank God the world has realized, you know what? It's kind of racist. We're kind of homophobic. We're kind of actually everything. Like mm-hmm. we are terrible people in general, mm-hmm. like everybody is. But when we start to realize like, okay, I have the best intentions with what I'm trying to do. Mm-hmm. If I do misstep and I then can learn from what I've done, mm-hmm. I think that's where we bridge the gap
yeah.
between a cultural appropriation and cultural celebration.
Yeah.
And, you know, like that party with white people wearing saris could very well be taken a different way, because I know when singers
yeah.
do, when like Beyonce did the saris and the belly dancing, it was not received well mm-hmm. when, you know, that whenever
so
you
that's
mix
what I'm
cultures,
thinking like I don't know
issue.
If that's
so that's why I'm saying like in that way, like kind of Lisa Vanderpump inviting them is kind of like underhanded.
Well, yeah, but she was dressed like that too.
I have a t-shirt in James May that says gypsy
uh-huh.
with stars on it. That's yeah. all it says. And I get shit all the time from people saying that it is slander, that it is like an awful thing to do. And I'm like, tell it to Stevie Nicks, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it wasn't my
yeah,
fault.
Yes, totally.
You know what I mean? But I think the Met Gala is rad for everything that you just said, Zach, because they're making this a giant
it's
important
like,
statement in fashion. Exactly, Rachel. To be exactly.
Yeah.
To let Harry Styles wear a Gucci jumpsuit that is like see-through with ruffles and show off
so
his cool tattoos.
Fun.
And Jared Leto to be wearing like ruffles and Harry Styles wears like one big earring. And no one's going to be like,
so
oh,
fun.
he looks gay. He must be this bad word or this bad word. No, he's expressing himself through fashion based on
yeah.
something, based on like a theme, which I think is so rad.
Zach, I want to ask you, because I remember when... for Katie and Tom's Bachelor Bachelorette party, when I first found out that the boys were going to be dressing in drag, I remember thinking, I feel like people are going to think that this is a little inappropriate. Is that offensive to the gay community?
Here's the thing.
I mean, I guess it went over well. Did they ever get any backlash? But I just remember being like nervous for them. Like, I don't know if that's going to fly.
You know, what's crazy is... It's always funny because it's there in any group or any situation, there's either the one trans person or the one lesbian or the one gay person or bisexual, and the people around them, their friends, look to them for the advice like, okay, so how should we mm-hmm. interact with the LGBT community? How should we, like, what is appropriate? And you know what I find is sometimes those people are not everyone is the most educated on how to respond. So, and even for myself, I am not, I've never been a drag queen. I've never done drag as a gay man, which is fine. And I love drag queens in like as well. But I'm like, I cannot answer that. I don't know
yeah.
what is appropriate or what isn't appropriate. I will say that like when you're younger, there's youth group and whatever, where there's like always the like, where you do like the switch of gender. So like the girls dress up as guys and the guys dress up as girls.
What kind
and
of youth
like
group
fun.
Is that?
I went to a Catholic
like,
school
like
and that's what we
group?
Did.
Oh, I don't
yeah, our church
that.
Youth group did that. It was
yeah.
like for our youth group. And I mean,
well,
I went to a
cool.
very, don't get me wrong. I went to a very progressive Catholic school, but,
yeah.
But what I'm saying is when it comes to that type of stuff, my thing is all about intention. So I'm not speaking for the community as large. I'm speaking for myself and what I see. So when I see Jack's, Tom, all of them, they are people that have not only supported me, they've supported mm-hmm. LGBT causes. They are very
They're
open.
Very close. Yeah.
They've never, ever used words mm-hmm. that I would
yeah,
find
so I guess if anyone
me.
Could pull it off, it would be them because they're not like...
But what I'm saying is their intention of dressing in drag was not to mock
No.
But was to celebrate it.
Absolutely.
And to also have fun with it, which drag is fun. The mm-hmm. reason drag queens do it is to fun and to entertain people, which is what they were doing. So I feel like they embodied the spirit of it, which mm-hmm. is honestly the way you, instead of appropriate, you celebrate.
Oh, look at you. Maybe you should run for office.
Can I put that shit on a shirt?
Yeah, seriously.
For gay pride, I'll give you royalties for show.
Well, okay, I want to end on this. Can Zach and I be models for your next James May shoot?
Yeah, why
I
feel have like we not
we're
been?
Like the only ones that haven't been models yet.
Absolutely. Rachel, you were my first model.
Oh, that's true. I was also on your t-shirts.
You were on my shirts. You were my first model. I'm sorry that I failed that line with my poetry.
But now I loved the poetry. I came up with some of it.
But now that I have really wonderful things happening, mm-hmm. absolutely, I would be blessed.
Yes. Zach, we'll do it together.
Great. Awesome. Because I was like, I've never been on it, so I guess I'm the last.
Oh, well, no. The ones, they didn't even air the episode.
No, I'm just kidding.
All right, guys. Well, thanks for doing this. I love
you. Hey, Rachel, you know I'm going to go back and find those photos, and that's what I'm going to post.
Please do.
They were pretty hot.
Don't post the ugly ones.
Oh my God. Actually, I have seen some of them. I remember like you on like a chair with like your legs over. I can specifically see it in my head right now. I remember it. It was actually really hot.
Yeah. I think I posted it once.
I was questioning things.
But I fully like edited half my fat out. So I think Kristen probably has the unretouched ones, but you know, some of them are cute. Some of them are cute. Anywho, I like the ones actually that these aren't touched up. Post one of the ones in the headphones. Those were cute.
Yeah, the headphones were really cute. And remember those shirts, all the white ones that your photo, like, because we took photos uh-huh. of you.
Oh, I have one. I have one here.
That's when I lived in Hollywood. Uh-huh. And I had, I had all of my white shirts that I'd printed, all the samples that we went downtown to American Apparel Factory.
I was with you. Yep.
And literally brought Rachel with her laptop, and we had to go to this like little like internet cafe type thing to get Wi-Fi in order to make sure like the images on my little like hard drive thing would even go to American Apparel. It was like such a beyond mess of a shit show.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved those shirts so much. And I put them in my crappy laundry room at my apartment with like 81 units. And I think I was just like gone for a couple of days, and someone took my laundry out
really?
And threw it away.
Oh my God. I have.
So they're all gone. And I'll
never
have them again.
I still
again.
Have one. And by the way, the photos were taken in my parking lot in my old apartment on Kristen's iPhone. But we were sort of just messing around with tambourine. Can't wait to show you this.
Okay. I definitely do not remember a tambourine in any of the photos I've seen. So yes, I will need to see these.
Okay. We'll
bring that shit back for James May's summer. You know what
Seriously?
I mean?
Seriously. Okay. We're going to wrap it up. And
recreation of it. Oh my God. We're going to go to that same apartment complex. We're going
to
bring ribbons. Oh my God. This is going
to
be great.
I literally can't wait till we end the podcast to show you this t-shirt. I have one. All right. Tell everyone where they can find you, Zach.
At Zach Wickham, ZACKWICKHAM on Instagram and Twitter, Facebook and Periscope. And
Periscope's not still there.
Oh,
is
and
it?
Venmo.
Yeah.
JK Rowling.
Is Periscope still a thing?
It still exists, I guess. And I don't. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
I don't know.
Kristen, I mean, they know where to find you, but go ahead.
I mean, if you don't know where to find me, just find me at Kristen Doty and James MAE.co.
Cutest dang shirts ever. All right. Bye.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.com. SI.org.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.